Well,
it's boring.
Let me ask you another thing here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, let me ask you something about on our last podcast or two podcasts ago, we were talking to the MK Bandit. MK works with Tommy Dreamer. He works with Destiny Wrestling. He's going to be at UCW Zero this weekend in Salt Lake City. He works with a lot of different organizations, New Mexico, Phoenix, and all over. And he is a, quote, manager. And I'm going to pull out a portion of our interview and play it over again from the NK Bandit, who is a, quote, manager in professional wrestling, because I read something early this week about Vince McMahon seeing the success.
Paul Heyman?
The mouthpiece. Yeah, Paul Heyman, man.
Paul Heyman.
Seeing the success with Paul Heyman and then Selena Vega on SmackDown Live, and how that's kind of called on her being the manager, not the valet, the manager of Vega on there, and seeing that success that they've come up with. Drake from 205 Live now is the manager of the Authors of Pain, and then Lilo Rush has kind of taken over that role for Bobby Lashley.
I hope so. I mean, I honestly, you know, and this is not a rip on any one person I work with. So I want to say that to anybody that I work with, anybody that I'm going to work with, I'm not ripping on anybody. I'm just really saying that because managers are such a specialty item, a lot of workers today are not brought up to use a manager. And so the role is kind of dying because people don't understand how to use me. It's almost like, you know, when in the old school matches, when they would tease the brass knuckles with a roll of quarters, and then at the end, the finish was always, you know, the guy gets clubbed with the brass, you know, something happened. And so you would tease that the whole match. That's how you use a manager. You use him to get your heat. And then eventually he either kills the face or he gets killed himself and everybody cheers. And people aren't using it like that. And I've been fortunate to work with a lot of good guys and good agents. Sin Bodhi is one who knows how to use a manager. Tommy Dreamer, again, knows how to use a manager. Bubba Ray Dudley knows how to use a manager. But a lot of the indie guys that I get put with, not recently, but I haven't put with, don't understand, don't know how to use the manager. So I'm afraid it's a dying role. And what I'm hoping is that back in the day, managers were old workers, or not old workers, or workers that were injured or something like that, and they transitioned. J.J. Dillon was a tremendous, accomplished wrestler, became a manager. And so they understood the game. And my fear is that because the role is dying, that there's not a lot of indie workers that are going to understand what a manager does, so that if they ever make it the big time and they become agents or like that. So I'm kind of afraid I'm a dinosaur. I hope the role comes back, but I honestly think that, you know, the end of the line is probably Paul Heyman.
So what I want to ask you now, do you see, like I see, the possibility of the managerial roles, the Bobby, the Brain Heenans, the Jimmy Harts, that type of role, is that coming back in professional wrestling right now, or is it just something that I'm hopeful for?
I think it's coming back because we need more managers that will be the mouthpiece of these wrestlers. Paul Heyman is the master of the mic for Brock Lesnar. And I think that needs to come back, because sometimes the wrestlers, when they're on the mic, they're not good at doing a promo. Some of them are not good at doing a promo. And that would be the best thing to do, is have a manager. I think that would be the best thing to do, to have someone like the MK Bandit come to the WWE, if that was ever possible. I don't know if that would be. That can actually cut a promo for another wrestler like Roman Reigns. He needs a manager. He needs someone that can talk for him. Seth can talk. Dean Ambrose can talk. But Roman Reigns can't. He needs somebody that can be the mouthpiece for him. I see managers coming back. I think it would be a real good idea. They need someone. They need like a Jim Cornette or a Jimmy Hart or a Bobby the Brain Heenan to come in and be the mouthpiece for a wrestler. And, yes, please bring them back in. That's what made wrestling what it was, because who is the greatest manager of all time? I mean, you've got yours and I have mine. Bobby the Brain Heenan was a master on the mic. Jim Cornette was a master. And right now, who's the best one on the mic? It is Paul Heyman right now.
Paul Heyman,
he is the best.
By far, yeah.
He is the best. And because he can stir a crowd up in about 5 seconds. So,
I was just going to think, you know, we grew up in the Memphis wrestling area, and the Hart Foundation, the Hart family, the Jimmy Hart family that he had in Memphis, when he had Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and he had all these other, what in the world is that?
Somebody decided they wanted to see if their horn is working very well, and
okay.
let me look out my porch here. Hi, how you doing? Can you turn that off, please? Really? Thank you. Bye. Okay, let's get back to what we were doing here. Thank you.
Okay. I'm remembering all these years when the Hart family, when he'd have a stable of 10 or 15 wrestlers that he was out with all the time. And what a great job Jimmy Hart did with those wrestlers. And then when he went to the WWE and he managed Hulk Hogan and all those, I think there's a role there that I hope to see coming back. And like I said, I'm going to pull out that interview with the MK Bandit, and I won't play the entire interview. I'll just talk about the role and the perceived role for the future of managers. It was a very interesting little conversation. It'll be part of this Turnbuckle Trash.
Sounds good to me. I listened to that whole thing, and I was on the edge of my seat listening to this gentleman. And, I don't remember what the MK Bandit looks like. I'll have to look him up again because I can't remember what he really looked like. And, I see him like a Paul Bearer. I mean, he was a good manager and he was a good talker. The man knew what he was doing. So yeah, I think managers would be best to come back. That's what we need. We need to have a heel manager or a babyface manager. Let's see what the WWE will do. It all depends on what side of the bed Vince wakes up on. Sometimes he wakes up on the left side.
Depends on what his men say that day.
Yeah, it depends on what, if Hunter says, look, you need to take this pill, go to sleep, let me take it over for a few minutes. Please.
Well, that's going to be real interesting. Any other final thoughts on Hell in the Cell, my man?
Hell in the Cell, I give it a 3-star. It was okay. Not the best pay-per-view in the world. Let's see what happens at the next one. And The Undertaker and Triple H's last match together at this, where are they going?
Australia. They're playing in a cricket field.
Okay.
They're going to have a field of crickets.
The field of crickets. That's what this match is going to be, is a field of crickets. The last match of Undertaker and Triple H. Go ahead.
I have absolutely nothing. To me, it's like, I'll watch it, but am I excited about it? No.
Nope. No.
I'm not excited about John Cena teaming with, it's going to be Kevin Owens he's teaming with?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. I'm not excited about that. I think that card over there needs some help, and I think they're wanting to do that last match with Triple H and Undertaker as their biggie, and it doesn't hold that much of interest to me.
I really think that there's going to be a swerve to it. I think Shawn Michaels is going to interfere somehow. He'll interfere because Shawn Michaels is going to come back. I mean, it's in the card that he's supposed to be by March of next year. He's supposed to be back in the ring one last time for the Showstopper. I really think they're building up another WrestleMania between The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. And this will be the Undertaker's, hopefully this will be the Undertaker's last match. And Shawn Michaels will get his redemption and he'll beat the Undertaker. Who knows? I mean, he's been bled too much. And it's time for Mark Calloway to ride off into the sunset. We've seen you enough. Go by. Just leave. You've done enough damage.
Chris, I'm going to say, give the man credit. He's taking as much money to the bank as he possibly can, and that's what this business is all about. We can sit here and complain. We can sit there and say we don't like the story writing, but, man, if those dudes are making money, more power to them, because money is the root of all evil, And my roots do not run very deep, and I want some deeper roots, but I don't want to be evil for them. I just want some deep roots myself.
But
if he can make some money doing this, more power to him.
Mm-hmm. But there is a little happy news. We have a 5-time marrier for the Ric Flair has been married for the 5th time now. He's a 16-time world champion and a 5-time marrier. I thought the man learned it the 4th time, but I guess
I could say something about belts and being married and honeymoons, but this is a family show, so I won't.
Yes,
so
sir,
I'll just kind of leave it at that. So,
I will too, because if I do, I think that the storm clouds will be coming over me and I'll be hit by lightning. Hopefully, I know.
Yeah.
I can't talk, so it's been a lot of fun doing Hell in the Cell, and hopefully the NWA will do better with.
Chris.
Gonna be like his daddy.
You just kind of cut out on me there for a second, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
I got you now. So.
Yeah. Okay. So, but the NWA. Hopefully, they can make a comeback, and I know the Impact is making a huge stride in the ratings. They're doing very well. Lucha is doing very well. I mean, all the independent circuits are doing excellent. And the WWE's stocks and all their ratings are plummeting. They're just not bringing it anymore. So let's see what happens with Impact, and let's see what happens with the NWA. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, I think that the NWA, now that they put the belt on Cody Rhodes, Cody will try to boost up the NWA. And hopefully, his biggest thing right now that I see what Cody is trying to do, he wants to show Vince, I left for a reason, and now I'm showing you why.
And the Young Bucks are saying basically the same thing. I don't want to deal with you because of you don't let us have creative control, and you take more of the money than you deserve. So,
yes, you are correct about that. So.
Yeah.
But it was fun today.
Quick,
thank you all very much. Go ahead.
Yeah. I want to give a quick shout out to WGN America and their new show. 6:00 in Mountain Time. It is 5 a.m. Pacific Time. I believe without my notes in front of me, it's called Ring Warriors. And it's Austin Aries is on there. Marty the Moth is on there. A lot of really good people if you want to check that out. It's only a 1-hour show, but very well done. Of course, there's a lot of different products out there. Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it was great. Thanks very much. And now 4:00 is fixing to come, and I have got to get to work.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, @TurnbuckleTrash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at WPFpod@gmail.com. Again, that's WPFpod@gmail.com.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Well, thanks for the little quick advertisement there, Dave. That was nice of you to put that together. You know, you spend a lot of time doing those little bits, don't you?
They're fun.
Yeah. You know, that sure is nice of your boss at the radio station to let you talk about us too.
Oh yeah, it is. It is nice, and I work on 2 different radio stations. Cool 103.9. We have a link up available on our website for Turnbuckle Trash. And I also can talk about it on 95.9 KLZX, where I talk more about some of the local competitors, because I know that some of the people in WAR, the Wrestling Association of the Rockies, some of them actually do listen to the radio station in the Ogden area and also North Salt Lake. And so they know who Dr. Dave is, but we talk about our podcast quite often on that. As long as the boss lets me, I'll go ahead and do it.
I know who Dr. Dave is.
I am the Doctor of Rock.
Yes. So, dude, I don't watch a lot of Raw and SmackDown. I catch the clips and I catch the, I was doing the whole Hulu thing, but I didn't like the way they were editing it, and I figured I'd rather subscribe to Motor Trend than Hulu. So I canceled my Hulu subscription, and Motor Trend was the same amount a month. So the Motor Trend's got Roadkill, and that's a much better. There's a lot of good stuff on the Motor Trend channel.
Right.
But I don't know if you happen to see Brie Bella. So I guess it was a tag match, the Riot Squad, and versus. I don't even know who was in it. Do you even know who was in it?
I think it was both of the Bellas and I'm trying to remember who the other competitor was. Maybe Natalie. Not sure.
Okay, so it was.
But yeah, it was the Riot Squad against the Bellas and one other. So
let's see. Well, anyway, so Brie in it was the Bella Twins versus. The Riot Squad and Liv Morgan. And so in there, oh yeah, it was Natalie, you were right. So in there, Liv Morgan's taking a series of yes kicks. And dude, I don't know if you haven't seen it yet, you've got to find the clip of it. Does that not look like that hurts like a son of a biscuit eating bulldog or what? So she's giving her the good old fashioned yes kicks, and Liv Morgan's taking it like a champ. You know, she's got her arms up, she's kind of blocking them, but it's looking really good. And then I don't know if Brie gets a little carried away or if Liv slips a little forward, but she kicks her square right between the eyes, and she knocks her the F out.
You got knocked up.
Kaplimo.
Look out, man.
Kaplimo.
And how she kicked out of the cover, that must have just been sheer muscle memory or something or instinct or whatever. And Brie gets her up and she's walking back to the corner and she falls down.
You got knocked up.
Kaplimo.
Look out, man.
Kaplimo.
She rung her bell, man.
You got knocked up.
Kaplimo.
Look out, man.
Kaplimo.
And, I mean, and, you know, Brie, I guess, did, she apologized via Twitter later on to her. And she says, every match on Raw is an opportunity for us to entertain our fans. Our intentions as WWE superstars is to win the match, never injure our opponents. Thinking about Liv Morgan tonight. Yeah. Love, Brie.
Aww.
Yeah. Aww. I don't know, man. Aww. That's scary, dude.
Yeah, it was scary. She could have been hurt a lot worse.
Well, and the thing
and
is,
they're
like,
putting her under the concussion protocol.
Concussion stuff. I mean, but I mean, she kicks her square right in the frickin' face, man. I mean,
not once, but
yeah,
twice.
I mean, she. Oh man. So yeah, anyway, so that's something you always gotta be thinking about how dangerous it is to get in that ring, though. But boy, there's sure been a lot of stuff going on. I mean, not just WWE, but man, that so we what was it? So has it been 3 weeks ago that All In happened?
Yeah, and what a great show that
was, man.
Gosh,
so. So let me tell you something real quick, just real quick. Believe it or not, okay, there was criticism of All In. Lack of storytelling, lack of build up, none of and it's like, so can they not just go out and have a decent match and it be okay? I mean, it's like people got to find something to whine about all the time, don't they? They says
yes,
that the old, like the Chris Jericho Kenny Omega thing was like, and there was one other match that kind of had some ROH build up, and like that was, and everybody was like, oh, all the other matches were just dream matches, and they didn't have any really build up to them and any storytelling, and you know,
wah, wah, wah.
I'm like, dude, there was some rock solid that Pentagon and Kenny Omega match. Dude, that was
awesome.
A great match. That was an awesome match. I mean, it was very entertaining, very good very good quality match. And then Nick Aldis versus Cody. I mean, that was a – not only was it a good freaking match, but, like, it was so nostalgic to see him win the same title that his freaking dad did. You know, it was like, almost brings a tear to my eye. But
I'll tell our listeners one more time that if you want to watch some really good content from the NWA, it's not matches. It's kind of like the behind the scenes, and maybe they do interviews
little
with competitors.
Vignettes.
But yes, little vignettes, not to be confused with vignettes that you get in New Orleans. But vignettes, it's called 10 Pounds of Gold on YouTube. It's fascinating. Very, very well done. Billy Corgan is the executive producer, and he does the music. And, of course, you know, he can do some music now. You know, he's pretty talented.
Well, you know,
so.
The world is a vampire.
Okay. That was a good tie-in there. So
maybe it's Billy Corgan's vampire.
Yeah.
But
and, you know, hey, they've recorded new music, too. He's got some new music out there, too.
But dude, that just proves right there that there's some awesome quality stuff out there besides the WWE fans, you know.
Yeah, there is. And by the way, Pro Wrestling Tees, I think you and I have both bought from that company before. They were one of the big sponsors for All In. They sold over 20,000 products and made over $500,000.
They said that they sold out of every single T-shirt they had.
Uh-huh. Isn't that great?
Speaking of T-shirt, dude, in Vegas, I'm at the mall, the outlet mall on the south end of town, and I go to Hot Topic, and they had an AJ Styles shirt. It was the blue one that it has his logo on it, the phenomenal one, you know? Uh-huh. And it was $24, and I was like, oh man, I don't want to spend $25. It was like $24.99. I don't want to spend $25 on a T-shirt, you know. But I was like, all right. I talked myself into it, and I'm all like, you know, gonna take the old hit, you know, when I go up there to the cash register and prepare to lay down my card, and they ring it up at $12.99.
Awesome.
So I got me an AJ Styles shirt. Now I have two.
And you know, my wife, I told her a couple of weeks ago. I said, hey, you need to get a wrestling T-shirt. And she went to the WWE. They were having a sale. She got a Goldberg shirt.
Oh, cool.
So now my wife has and she doesn't watch wrestling with me anymore, but she's just that cool,
yeah,
right?
Cool.
Yeah. And then talking about, you know, our vacations and coming up with wrestling things, I sent you a picture of me finding on the card a Luna Vachon and Sable WWF WrestleMania moment action figures, and a 1/24 scale Bill Goldberg gold-plated limited edition car from the WCW days. And I got that in my collection now. I am so, so happy. Picked up a couple other figures, like I think I got Prince Albert and Al Snow, you know, with the Melt Me on his head.
Was Prince Albert in a can?
Oh, you like funny. You like funny. But I love going looking for stuff like that. That's just
good
awesome.
At it too. You find all the good deals.
Oh, that was awesome. And that was in Hurricane, Utah, of all places. Not Hurricane, Hurricane.
Gotta say,
which is right outside of St.
Like
George. A little small town.
Say it like you're from there, Hurricane.
Hurricane, which is right next to Laverne.
So speaking of independent promotions and things, that was a pretty cool little deal in Salt Lake this weekend that I wasn't able to go to. It was our good old pal, friend of the show, Matthew Robles, a.k.a. the MK Bandit, the one and only true heel, was able to put together some cross-promoting between Destiny Wrestling Organization and UCW Zero. And guess who was one of the main stars there?
Tell me who.
The newly crowned Lucha Underground heavyweight champion.
Marty
the Moth Martinez.
Isn't that great?
Dude, that's cool.
That was cool.
Did you watch them?
Martin
you
is
you
such a
match?
Great guy and a great, you know, awesome.
Did you watch the match?
I watched the one where he won the Gift of the Gods title, but I haven't gotten to the one. I think they're going to play the one where he won the Lucha Underground title on Wednesday night this week. And but Marty, Martin, whatever you want to call him, he's been on the air with us a couple of times on the podcast. Great guy. I was on a panel discussion with him at Salt Lake Comic Con about professional wrestling.
Well, I was blessed, really. I was one of the first guys contracted with Lucha Underground. I actually worked with a guy named Eric Van Wagner, who's the executive producer of this whole thing at Lucha Underground. But he worked on WWE Tough Enough with me.
Oh, interesting.
And he has some roots tied to Utah, and that was the whole thing where he kind of pushed out of all the thousands of applicants for me to get on Tough Enough, even though I'd never met him before. He just saw a Utah boy. He saw that I was just kind of weird. I like to goof off a lot. So he kind of pushed me to get on there. As soon as that was over, I was filled up. I was working back on the independent scene, trying to get, again, your name even more out there. He hit me up on Facebook saying, dude, I'm being part of this thing. We're in the very early development. Would you want to be part of it? And I said, heck yeah. And, of course, with something like Lucha Underground, it doesn't take a day to get in. It takes months and months of planning and a lot of people with a lot of money. So I hit him up every, 6 months. And I said, hey, I'm still interested in this. And he's like, okay, sweet. And then Lucha Underground started, and then I started. So wow. I got really lucky just because he knew that I was a goofball, something different on TV, but they just didn't quite know where to put me.
Uh-huh.
So they wanted me on the roster, and it's worked out very well there for me.
And you know what? I am so happy for the dude in the first place. And then you put the MK Bandit in there also. They're doing a documentary about him, I think Channel 4 out of Salt Lake City. I don't know if it's going to be a story about professional wrestling or if it's kind of featuring him and his success, but it is ABC4 in Salt Lake City, and as soon as it's done, he's going to send me a link, and I'll make sure that we'll also put it on our Facebook page and also our Twitter account.
Guess who else freaking shut up in Salt Lake? A former NWA champion. Nick Aldis was there, too.
Oh, man. You know, I got back from my vacation about 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. I said, I'm too tired to go back to Salt Lake. But right now, you tell me that, I wish I'd gone.
I know. I thought the same thing. I was like, why did I not go? Because I didn't do anything Saturday. I just sat around the house all day and, you know, felt sorry for myself and stuff like that. But, you know, it seems to be seems to happen to the best of us, though. But it's all good. I got my news done. And happy wife, happy life.
I bet your wife liked that, too.
Happy
so.
Wife, happy life, right?
By the way, I don't know if you were noticing this around the September 11th anniversary, but Selena Vega, who is now on SmackDown Live, as she is she's a performer, but she also plays a managerial role. She lost her father on September the 11th. He was in one of the towers. And an incredible story. If you can check it out on YouTube or check it out with the interview with Renee, it'll bring a tear to your eye. Yeah, I mean, here's something she shared with her dad, a love of professional wrestling. And she's a smaller performer, and she becomes a professional wrestler, and she's doing great. And then to have her be able to perform on September the 11th itself, mm-hmm. On SmackDown Live, it had to be a great, great time for her. But if you get a chance to see that, it is really, really touching. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Selena Vega, she's going to be in the movie Fighting With My Family. That's that show about Paige. Mm-hmm. And she's going to be part of that. And also part of that movie is Dwayne The Rock Johnson's daughter, Simone, I think is her name. And she reportedly has been working out in Florida, might become a performer pretty soon. Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
And Daniel Bryan has officially signed new contract with the WWE, and no word on how long it will be, but he will be with the WWE for a while. There had been a lot of talk about him possibly moving on to some of the smaller promotions, maybe going back to ROH where he had some great success too, but he will be with the WWE. I imagine they had to put a little money out there saying, you know, we'll keep the total Bellas on for a while too. So I'm sure there was a little bit of money exchanged there. And prior to Hell in the Cell, Roman Reigns appeared on the ESPN Game Day show where they do before college football on Saturdays because Roman played at Georgia Tech and he was making picks on that. So that's pretty cool too. But we're getting ready for the Super Showdown. That's coming up on October the 6th, 2 a.m. Mountain Time on Saturday, October the 6th, our time. So I think I'll be watching it on tape delay.
Wow.
So, and I also want to put some congrats out there to another friend of the program. We've talked about the MK Bandit. We've talked about Martin winning the Lucha Underground title. But another local performer that has done a lot of stuff in the West, Super Destroyer. The Super Destroyer I met a few years ago at Salt Lake Comic Con. He's a masked competitor, and I know his name. I know who he is. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to break his kayfabe. But he was inducted into a Utah Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame over the weekend. You could not ask for a nicer gentleman who works outside of the ring with kids with special needs and have been through some very rough times where they've been abused. So Super D, very much deserved. You are an incredible, incredible man, and my hats are off to you. So a lot of stuff going on, man.
Yeah, it's an exciting time to be a wrestling fan, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, man, it's been an awesome show. It's been a long show. Lots happening. Lots has been happening. We got to get caught up, and we got to do this more often. But hey, you know, it is as always. It's just a wonderful time talking to you.
Oh man, it's always fun, isn't it?
You know, and I could talk to you about professional wrestling all day for hours any day.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Can I go back real quickly to Marty the Moth, Martin Casals, Salt Lake Comic Con 2 years ago when we were both on a panel discussion along with our friend Trent Hunsaker, and also Tom was there too, all on the panel about professional wrestling. After our panel discussion, Martin and I were in the hallway talking, and I think we talked for over an hour just talking, and he made the same comment. I could talk professional wrestling all day long. So that is incredible.
Good job, Dave. You always do good work with those. I don't know. Your interviewing skills are just always been good. You always know how to ask the right questions. I don't know how you do that.
It's called being in the business for a long time.
Oh, way to be talking about it, Dave.
Well, you know what? When you're as good as I am, and you're as good looking as I am, and you are the women's pet, the men's regret.
And you even wrote this song on a piano just for you. There's nothing Dave can't
do. You're so vain. I probably think this song is about me. To quote Krusty the Clown on Simpsons, I am the wind beneath your wings.
You are, Dave. You are. You're even going to write a song on the piano just for me because you can't do. Yeah. So, well, thanks, Dave. As always, have a wonderful, wonderful week. You know, don't let the man get you down. Don't take any wooden nickels, you know, all those things like that.
Don't let the bed bugs bite.
It's not that time yet, Dave.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. You know why you don't take any wooden nickels?
Why?
You might get slivers in your fingers.
Thank you so much. And on that wonderful term, we'll close it out.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them,
get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
The bread aisle in Walmart and all the rest and all the other grocery stores were completely wiped out, and milk too. Everybody was making French toast that day.
Let's just be honest with you. I couldn't imagine having a screwdriver shoved in your earlobe and turned 3 or 4 times.
But it hurt me just looking at it.
Almost brings a tear to my eye.
I said, what are you going to do with all that water? And she just flushed it.
Even, oh, her ribs. How did she pull that gut-wrench suplex off with those ribs? You know, it's just like,
oh. Agreed. Oh, that was great. You did very good that time. Oh, let me shake your hand.
Well, why can't one be bad and one be badder?
Almost brings a tear to my eye.
Can I just go up and touch it and roll in it?
So, I've been working it pretty hard.
In my naked body all over it?
Does Stephanie McMahon have something with red? I mean, they have this obsession with red.
Man, she rung her bell, though.
You got knocked up!
Kablimo!
Go, man!
Kablimo!
The belt's got to be red. The ring's got to be red. Hey, let's make the bell red. Come on. Really?
But both of them jumped like they looked at each other and said, okay, let's jump.